Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, August 31st. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. The Bureau of Land Management has received nearly 16,000 comments on proposed changes to public comment periods and bonds on oil and gas projects on public land. Wyoming Public Radio's Teal Davis has more.
BLM's outrageous and dangerous proposal undermines democratic values by cutting the public out of the lease sale process. The proposal denies private...
That's part of a comment that Pinedale resident Linda Baker sent to BLM Director Steve Pierce about a new BLM proposal. In short, it looks to drop the public comment period on oil, gas, and coal leases from 90 days down to 10. It also aims to decrease bond amounts that act as collateral to ensure companies complete environmental cleanup. An analysis by the Center for Western Priorities reveals that about 99% of the comments opposed the proposal. Baker was among them.
Not being able to comment on oil and gas leases is counter to effective democracy, and it's an insult to the people that will be affected by this new rule.
Those people are often ranchers on split estate land. The proposal also seeks to stop notifying landowners about leases under their property. One comment referenced the elimination as ludicrous. The BLM will now review public comments and publish a finalized rule in the coming months. For Wyoming Public Radio and Report for America, I'm Teal Davis.
This fire season has again shown the enormous risks that communities across the region face. But as the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports, one Idaho county is taking a unique approach to the problem.
There were early signs that this fire season could be a big one, especially the record low snowpack last winter. In Idaho, near the Grand Targhee Resort, that spurred interest in a novel effort, raising money to help hire a local wildfire mitigation coordinator. Liz Davey is with the new group behind it, the Teton Valley Fire Action Community Team.
It's been amazing. They started the fundraising effort in February. They had a goal of $140,000. They reached that goal in about May.
Along with funding from the Nature Conservancy and Teton County Fire Rescue, the new position at the fire department will be funded for 3 years. Once hired, they'll implement fuels reduction projects on private land and help the U.S. Forest Service on public land efforts.
I think it can be done in any community.
And Davey says it just takes a few passionate people to push it forward. I'm Murphy Woodhouse, Mountain West News Bureau reporter at Boise State Public Radio.
Health officials are warning of this year's West Nile virus season. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey reports, the West Nile season could last longer as the climate warms.
West Nile cases typically spike in August and September, but a warmer, wetter September and October could keep mosquitoes active and virus risk higher later into the year. Dr. Aaron Phipps is with the New Mexico Department of Health.
The majority of people who are infected are actually asymptomatic.
Most others get mild, flu-like symptoms. The real danger is about 1% of infections that attack the nervous system.
It can cause seizures, confusion, coma, and even death.
People with conditions like diabetes or who are on steroids or biologic drugs are especially vulnerable. Officials say you should wear repellent, long sleeves, and pants, and avoid mosquito bites to protect against the virus. I'm Jenny Kinsey for the Mountain West News Bureau at KANW in New Mexico.
Hydrologists use a variety of techniques to restore the natural function of rivers and streams. So-called process-based restoration can bring a number of ecological benefits. But as the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports, fire managers are now using it more.
It may sound simple, but water doesn't burn. That's the opening of a recent federal report on the promise of process-based restoration, or PBR, for wildland firefighters. There are a number of techniques used. On the lower tech side, there's the reintroduction of beavers. On the higher tech side, using heavy machinery to fill deep channels. Their common effect is to raise water tables and soil moisture. That can also give firefighters an edge when trying to control blazes and can make ecosystems more resilient to wildfires and better able to recover in their wake. Here's report co-author Jen Croft with the U.S. Forest Service.
We have fire practitioners now who are integrating this, not just folks in fisheries and hydrology and watersheds.
She says there's increasing coordination between firefighters and those who have been using PBR for years to maximize ecological and fire protection benefits. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Yellowstone National Park has temporarily closed a creek in the northern part of the park to remove invasive fish. Buffalo Creek will remain closed to the public until September 7th. Biologists will remove invasive rainbow trout using a chemical called Rotentone. The park says the water at downstream Slough Creek campground will be safe to drink. Rainbow trout are out competing and hybridizing with the park's only native trout species, that's Yellowstone cutthroat. By removing rainbow trout from Buffalo Creek, the park says it will protect the native cutthroat and several other streams and rivers in the Lamar River watershed. And here's Ivy Engel with a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on August 30, 1943, Wyoming rattlesnakes were canned in a Victory Garden demonstration in Denver. We're not sure why, as rattlesnakes don't tend to grow in gardens, Victory or not. On September 1, 1967, the Cheyenne Daily Leader newspaper began publication. On September 2, 1869, voters at Wyoming's first territorial elections voted in only Democrats to the territorial legislature. 20 years later, on September 2, 1889, the Wyoming State Constitutional Convention convened at the territorial capital in Cheyenne. On September 3, 1931, a jury found a Gillette man not guilty of unlawful hypnotism. On September 4, 1951, it was reported that a 70-year-old man wrestled with a mad bull in Diamondville. We're not sure why or who won. On September 5, 1890, it was reported that a Rock Springs man had invented a new kind of water wheel that would revolutionize irrigation. On September 6, 1889, the University of Wyoming opened. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was the first Wyoming athlete to compete in the Olympics? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll be sure to give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, what was the first labor union formed in Wyoming? That would be the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen, Division 103 in Cheyenne, received its official charter on May 14, 1869, just 4 days after the Golden Spike was driven for the first transcontinental railroad, meaning the union's formation predates Wyoming statehood. Congratulations to Melissa Raffalo, the first to submit the right answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a productive Monday on the last day of August, and join me again tomorrow.